Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
I am free, and so are you. And freedom comes when you catch the revelation for your life, when you know why you are here, when you know that you're here for something amazing. So no matter what is going on, you deal with what's going on, but you remember the truth that you are here for God. I had a revelation that got me choir. Coach Ann Muldrow, soloist. Let's do this. Ask Life Coach at a radio show.
Living for God has been my one desire. God is my everything. God's everything to me. Yeah. Living in the Spirit has set my soul free. I gave my whole life to God, and I begin to see.
know why I'm alive. I'm here to cough. Sorry about that. I didn't know my mic was unmuted. Yes. When you remember your God code, not your zip code, you know where you come from. When you know why you're alive, yes, you feel pain, you feel fear, you feel all the stuff that life throws at you. But you say, wait a minute. I know why I'm alive, because I am the hands of God. Oof, God. And, you know, not only are you the hands of God, God, he loves you and needs you too. So no matter what you're moving through, growing through and going through, you always remember that what you're going through and growing through is because you are the hands of God. You know, it's kind of like if you think of the scientists when they're doing something and they have, like, especially I think babies. They have babies in little cubicle and glass, and you wear these rubber gloves. Or when you do an experiment, you put your hands in the gloves, and then, you know, you start doing whatever the scientists. I remember, I'm going back to school time here, but some of you who work in hospitals know what I'm talking about. But you have to put your hands in these gloves to reach the baby or whatever it is, and you put so-called protect yourself with the casing. You see what I'm saying? I see it, but hopefully you get it in your heart. Now, that's how God's hands look. See, you are the gloves through which God gets to manipulate life, get to bring healing to disease, gets to love people who feel unloved. You know, just see yourself today as the gloves to God's hands. So whenever you're moving through something, rather than, oh, God, not again, why me? It's like, oh, wow, I get the opportunity of being chosen. I had a revelation. I am the hands of God. Ooh, the Agape Choir, Georgia Ann Muldrow, the soloist, the beautiful daughter of the beautiful Ricky Pius Beckwith, the beautiful wife of the deep, the beautiful husband known as Michael Bernard Beckwith. They just got so much beauty radiating through them, and they get to share it with us. And then we catch the beauty inside of us. And we say, oh, my God, I love agape. But what agape is doing is connecting with the agape within you, the beauty within you. You're like, life is good. It's getting better. It's a Monday afternoon, morning, day, whatever it is, time, wherever you are. But, wow, thank God it's Monday. And if you're tripping about it being Monday, get over yourself. Ain't nobody interested in that. You're here for God. Where else would you rather be? And if you don't want to be at work, go home. Say, I don't want to be here today. I'm going home. And they say, guess what? We just realized we don't need you anymore. And if you realize you're here for God, then you're not tripping. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because here we inspire change and you get to see yourself differently. You get to remember that you are the hands of God and you can help or make a difference. When you know, when you get in touch, when you connect with who you really are, you know, God starts to do you. It's like, you don't have to do anything. You just let God do you. And it happens when you care, when you become aware to the essence of who you are. And something happens on the energetic level deep down. There's a shift. You know, your operating system, that's why your operating system gets updated, upgraded, because you caught an insight. And somehow the things you used to do doesn't excite you anymore. You're used to eating different kind of food. You're hanging with different kind of people. Not because those things are bad for you, but because you've just changed your taste. You just changed your taste. You tasted something so sweet that you said, I want something that's going to match this sweetness. Ooh, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. And I am your host. But some people know me as Ade. Some people know me as Life Coach Ade. Some people know me as a naughty professor. Some people know me as whatever they want to know me as. But I am your host. I am that I was. I am that I am. I am that I will be. It is so nice to be here today. My friends are in the house. Glenda is in the house. Celeste is in the house. Folks are listening online, on their phones, on their iPads, and I don't know what. We got Teresa in the house. We have silent listeners. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of this change, and thank you for being a midwife to this moment, because every day, every moment, something has been birthed. And Monique, I'm going to give another name now. I tend to do that sometimes because we are everything and nothing. So I can give another name. She understands. But let's stick with Monique now, because we don't want to confuse people. We don't want to confuse the unenlightened people. That's not her name. If we're one, your name is my name. I digress. Oh, Lord. This boy is nuts. What can I say? I love him, though. If he was anything less than this, I can't put up with him. But the fact that he's nuts, oh, I love him. I wake up to say, look at you. You're just... Yes. Thank you, those of you that are listening, those of you listening on the archive, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the shift that's happening on the planet. You are part of the shift. You are the answer. And as you continue to just fall deep into a part of yourself that is formless, a part of you, a part of yourself that has all the answers, even though your five senses can't seem to figure it out, just fall back into the truth of who you are. Now, that's a revelation. The theme for the month, where the February is wrapping up already, Black History Month is coming to the celebration, should I say, the celebration of Black History Month is coming to an end. It's coming to a new beginning. That too. And today's topic is Journeying with Down Syndrome, the story of a mother and a son. My dear friend Monique Ruffin, who is truly, I mean, in her bio, it says that she's an activist. She is that. But for me, I see her as a sacred activist. She balanced heaven and earth. And she's a warrior. That's why she came. She chose the parents she chose. She said, I got stuff to do. I am the hands of God. So now let's bring in Celeste, who has said yes to the call. And what else do I need to tell you? I don't know. I'll tell you later. Oh, to find out more about Agape Choir, you already know it. But just to remind you, and you like that song, go to agapelive.com, agapelive.com. It's the virtual home of Michael Bernard Beckwith and Vicky Bias Beckwith. And I think the other website to download some of their songs is the Sound. Is it Sound of Agape? I am typing it as I speak. Let's see. You can go there and download some of their chants. Yes, Sound of Agape. Come on now. Come on. There we go. We're there. The Sound of Agape. There you go. Soundofagape.com. Go download some stuff. We'll get you some. Let's see. All right, don't tell anybody. I want to try and catch Celeste off guard, okay? 3, 2, 1, boo! Celeste! Oh, I caught myself off guard. My computer's moving.
Please. Please.
Did you just say Negro, please?
I didn't have that, but you heard it. Wow.
Hello. I'm already listening. How are you, my friend?
I'm great on this Monday. I'm loving your energy. I'm so excited to have Monique back in the house. She is definitely home, and in my anticipation of wanting to experience this conversation, I'm about to drop these announcements, if that's okay with you, Life Coach Today.
Well, what can I say? You already declared what you're going to do. I'll be a fool to get in your way.
I know that's right. Hello. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Nutty Professor, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you are dealing with so Life Coach Today and Monique Ruffin can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346 and make sure that you press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach a Day fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or you can't get on Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu, then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach a Day button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day on the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show. Also, you can email, why are you laughing at me, Life Coach a Day? Get back in your lane, I hear you. I know my name, Celeste. Also, you can email Life Coach a Day any time of the day, and he will answer your questions on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. You can also email him if you have a topic you would like Life Coach a Day to cover for an upcoming show. What has you curious? Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of February is Loving What Is, and we have wonderful shows coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo to talk about the treasures of silence. We're working on the silence right now. And being the last Wednesday of the month, we welcome back Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach a Day. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. Be sure to join Ambassa Safara for the play experience. Have you passionately loved and appreciated you? If not, take a trip on the playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we go more in-depth with numerology, medicine cards, and tarot to help you make more inspired moves on your life's journey. Also, the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show is syndicated on Within the Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach a Day drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. No amount is too small, and we thank you for being a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach a Day.
Woo! Thank you, the lady with a voice. We'll see you around 1 for Celestial Moment with
What's my name?
Morgan.
Say my name. I'm out of it.
Ooh. When no one is around you, say, baby, I love you.
Uh-oh, I'm going to do a duet.
You better call my name.
I'm so out of here. Happy Monday.
I'm trying to
hear
myself. We have a guest in the house. Monique doesn't see this side of me.
But she's family.
But she don't know this part of me. Don't make her run away now. Come on, stop it.
She'll be all right. She's from Cali. She got it.
But the other people listening for Monique, they even want us to get to Monique so quick. They're kind of like, come on, get to Monique. So let's be can we not behave? It's our choice. We do what we want to do.
But we also take care of our guests and our family and our listeners. So get to it, Life Coach Day.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That moment of craziness was brought to you by extra sugar in the bloodstream. I do brown sugar, but all the money probably tell me don't do that. But no, I'm not blaming on sugar. I'm this nutty. I'm this crazy. I'm here to have fun. And if life is not fun, that's it. Peace out on me. I'm gone. I'm here to have fun. So let's keep the fun going, talking about moving through life and recognizing who you are, embracing yourself. And once again, we welcome all of you. Teresa, I like that. That's pretty awesome. I am that I am, and that is all I be. I have to say that slowly. Let's see here. Anything else I need to do? No, Nika's in the house. This is the deep. She's powerful. She's authentic. She's open. She's dynamic. She's a superhero. I've been reading her blog. She's a superhero. She knows it too. But anyway, let's see. What do I need to do now? It's okay. You're just being impatient. Relax. It's not that deep. Okay? Just take a breath. Let go of all the stuff. Don't get your filters clogged up. Learn to be flexible, or you might get stuck up. When you get stuck up, oof, you stink. I don't know what's going on. Okay, let me bring Monique in quickly because I don't know what is going on. All right, so let me read a little bit about her so I can rescue myself quickly because I think my body and my mind has been hijacked by the elves and in the non-physical realm, and they're just having fun, and they're using me. I refuse to be used. Yeah, right. Good luck. Monique Ruffin is an author, an activist, life coach, and mother, and so much more. She received her BA in political science from Howard University and a master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. Her mission is to assist in creating a world where the secular serves the sacredness and well-being of all people. Mm. That's why I love her. She is a contributing writer for the Huffington Post, and her latest book is Open Your American Heart, From Personal Responsibility to Collective Accountability. That's right. That's what she's about. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful friend. She's not a guest. She is family, and her name is Monique Ruffin. Welcome, sister girl. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Thank you for having me today.
I hope you didn't hear the beginning of the show. Not usually like that.
I did. I've been here entire time.
Yeah, oh,
you're hilarious.
God, I'm so embarrassed. Well, I hope you're not going to judge me.
No, don't be embarrassing. Of course, I'm not going to judge you. You sound like you're having fun.
Oh, trust me. If this is not fun, I'm going to stop doing it. And I mean that. It's got to be fun. I ain't doing it. Whatever it is, it's got to be fun. How's my sister friend doing today?
You know, I feel really good this morning. I've been, you know, up this morning with my son, getting him off of school, blowing his nose. It's allergy season, so his nose is running like a river. And now I'm back home, sitting and being with you. All is well.
Yes, indeed. There's so many places I want to go with you. There's so much places. So I just decided, you know what? Just let it be. Just. Pretend you're meeting Monique in a Starbucks, you know, just sitting there and chilling, having a conversation. I said, yeah, I can do that. So here's the first question I want to ask you. I just read a little bit about you. Most of the folks that are listening know you, you know. But I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Monique Ruffin?
Well, I would say that changes. I am a, you know, that's a difficult question. You know, I'm a woman. I'm a mother. I'm a friend. But who I was yesterday is certainly not who I am today. And there's an evolutionary process that is occurring inside of me. So every day, hopefully, I'm more of myself. There's really no way to define that, I don't believe. I mean, I am somebody who, I love beauty, I love human beings, like I love the human process. I love all the murky, dirty, heavy, beautiful, lighthearted things that we go through. Like all of it tends to benefit me, and I live inside of my life, like I'm in it, and I do my best to be fully aware of as much of my life as I can. And so who I am is I'm everything and I'm nothing. You know what I mean? Like, there's really no answer to that, honestly.
No, I understand. I get it. I always ask my guests, as you know, I always ask all my guests that question, even if they've been here 10,000. As you said, it's always changing. But as I'm listening to you, I caught this idea that, isn't it interesting that, you know, there's that thing about the unexamined life is not worth living. And then we also know on the spiritual journey, we say, you got to know who you are. You got to know yourself. And then you get to, if you will, the other end of that to realize, I don't know. I'm so much more. I am everything and nothing. And what does that mean? I can't describe it. And there's so much freedom in getting to that place and recognizing that we're so much more, that we are everything and we are nothing. Now, that may sound woo-woo and metaphysical, but who cares? Because, you know, I'm not going to make apologies for what I know to be true anymore. That idea, when we can just sit with, there's so many aspects to it. As you said, you're a mother, you're a woman, you're an author, you're a life coach, you're all of that and more. But at the same time, it's so simple. But it's so simple that we can't even put it in words. And I see that as when we talk about, when we try and describe love or God, I say when you try and describe God, give a definition to God or love, you limit the experience. Because words cannot do it justice. And, thank you for your expression of who you are being right now. Appreciate that moment. Now, let's explore this nothing and everything that is expressing as Monique Ruffin. Your story. You know, you've had a fascinating story. And as I was thinking this morning, I subscribe. I just have the sense. I don't have anything to prove. I don't have anything to prove it, and I don't need you because I just feel it, that we, in fact, do choose our parents. And I was thinking of your life and the kind of script that was presented to you that you said, I got this. I can play this role. And it's like you came on this planet to be a warrior, a sacred warrior, like, oh, I can handle this. You know, I played, I had a revelation at the beginning. Part of the lyrics is, I am the hands of God. You came here to remind yourself that you are the hands of God. And so for those who don't know, or those who know and forgotten, let's remind them your story. You started off, from what I know anyway, your parents were addicted to drugs, both of them, and you were raised by your grandmother. Tell us about that experience.
Yes. So I was born in the 60s, the late 60s. My mother was 17, and my father was a little older, like 26. And they just were living the life that was really kind of popular at the time, sort of that what feels like a black exploitation life. So there was drugs and prostitution and, you know, fur coats and hats. They were just in that very lifestyle, Cadillacs, and that was the environment that I was born into. And my grandmother really thought that I needed some structure, and so I went to go live with my grandmother when I was 3. And when you talk about choosing your parents, and I do believe that I chose my parents, I think I resisted that concept for a while because there's a part of me that felt like, why would I choose them? But as I am a mother myself now, I realize that I did. I do believe that I chose them. I can't say any of this is for sure, but I am beginning to truly understand the value of what I got from that very, very it's a varied experience. And, like, for instance, my mother, who was a drug addict, and that was a part of her experience, and she was also a prostitute, but there was something about her. She was very beautiful and sensual, and she cooked and she cleaned and she was very sexual. And I remember when I was a little girl, she would walk into a room and her hips swayed just so, And she would get the attention of the men and the women in the room. That was just her gift. She was able to do that. She's a very tall woman, an hourglass figure. And I was extraordinarily uncomfortable with that in her, the way people responded to her. When she walked into a room, it sort of made my skin crawl, and the way men responded to her. But now that I'm a woman and now that I'm older than I was, you know, as a child, appreciate that. Like, I understand the magic that she possessed. I don't understand the magic that she possessed because I rejected it for so long, but I'm beginning to. Like, I've become curious about it. And so there are many facets to my childhood experience, some of which included drug addiction and abuse and just a lot of darkness. But then within that, there were sparks of light that are still with me today that I'm beginning to take on for myself and grow from. So it was an interesting childhood on a lot of levels.
So did your grandmother actually take you from your parents, or it was just because your parents weren't around, your grandparents just automatically stepped in?
You know, my parents dropped me off at my grandmother's house. This memory is so ingrained in my head. I remember I was going to stay at my grandmother's for the summer. I was three or four years, because at the end of the summer I turned four, and I remember the birthday card they gave me. And so they dropped me off at the beginning of the summer, and I remember having all of my clothes, and they were hanging and like on hangers, and my mother dropping me off and her not coming into the house, and she was going to pick me up in the summer, and I never left. That's what I remember. I never left. So I don't know what happened between my grandmother and my parents, but I know that they never came to get me. But I did see them again, but they never came to pick me up and take me away.
Mm. Wow. So what was that experience like? As a child, you're probably not on an emotional level, you're aware, on an energetic level, you're aware, but from a conscious perspective, intellectual level, probably not thinking too much about it. But I'm sure as you grew up, especially in your teen years, how did that affect you? How did that show up in your world?
Well, there were many different things. So I was always aware. I was always energetically tapped into my environment, and I knew that there was not a lot of safety in my environment. I was clear that the people that were in my, except with the exception of my grandmother, but she was tired. So I was also aware that she was tired. So the people that were around my grandmother's children were crazy. That's how it occurred for me as a young child, because they were out of their minds, because they were, most of them were drug addicted, and these were my uncles and cousins, and there was just a lot of drug abuse going on. So I was very aware that these people are not in their right state of mind. They are not safe, and I need to protect myself. And so that was something that I took on at a young age. Like, I learned how to fight. I learned how to scream. I learned how to really be defiant, because if I wasn't defiant and fierce in that environment, I would be eaten alive by anybody on any given day. It was just how it was. So I learned how to be that. And then there were times when I would go to an aunt's house or a cousin's house, and it was completely different. And we were going to the theater and going to do things that were really inspiring to me, into museums. And I had an aunt who took me to see Annie and The Wiz and all sorts of things that were really creative and inspiring to me. So that lived inside of me as well. And I was very... I was called to that. Like, I dreamed, I imagined myself in another world. So I remember when I was a little girl at night at my grandmother's house, I used to sleep with the JCPenney's catalog. I don't know if you remember catalogs.
Oh, wow.
They used to be these big catalogs like
yeah.
Yellow Pages. And I would flip through that book for hours at night, just looking at all the things I wanted and all the things that I was. Oh, this went on for years. So probably like from 7 to 13 or so. And it wasn't every night, but whenever there was a new catalog, like I was always with the catalog and looking at ovens and refrigerators and clothes. But it was the way I moved myself into a new way of being. It was my vision, and it worked. That's all I can say is that it worked. It was my path out of my environment, and it worked.
So even at the age of 7, you knew the importance of having a vision board. So your catalog was a vision board to know there is another way. There is another way for life to be and life to show up. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I did. And it wasn't conscious. I couldn't put language
right.
to it. But I knew that there were people who lived different. Like I knew that I had an aunt who lived 20 or 30 minutes away who took me to plays, and she had a different life, and there wasn't chaos in her home. And, like, so I knew that there was something different, and I just, all I could do as a child was just dream about it. And so I did. I spent a lot of time just dreaming myself into a new existence.
Dreaming into a new existence. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. My guest is my friend Monique Ruffin, and we are sharing stories. She's sharing her story. I'm asking the questions. And the theme for the month is loving what is. Sometimes we resist what is. Resist is fear. Love is allowing. And, you know, as I listen to you, Monique, I think of that environment that you grew up in. There are some people who grew up in that environment and end up being bitter. They end up being mad. They end up being resentful. They, like you said, they say, why would my parents treat me like that? And so how did you get through? Where did the shift happen? I'm sure it did. Where did the shift happen for you to actually, if you will, forgive your parents to now start creating the life of your dreams?
It was a long journey. Forgiveness of my parents was a very long journey because I was my father died when I was 13 and my mother died when I was 28, and they both really died of similar things, addiction. But I will say that, so from the time of their death, let me start here. I didn't even realize that my life was really different or that anything was wrong until I was in my 20s, really, until I was like 19 or 20, because I was so immersed in that energy of struggle and pain and disconnect. That was just normal. It was just absolutely normal. So I think at some point and then there was a lot of religion. How about that? There was a lot of religion. I forget about that. There was a lot. My grandmother, huh?
I'm listening. I was just laughing.
Okay. My grandmother was the daughter of a minister. So we were at church all the time. So there was the balancing of these lifestyles inside of me, which was really challenging. So I always had that thing in me that was like God, 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 and how do I be good for God? And so it looked like, you know, as a teenager, it looked like suppressing my hormones and, you know, doing the right thing for God and not lying. And so that included not hating my mother. That was a part of it. And I grew up in a family that really taught me and demanded that I respect her no matter what her life was like, that I respect my parents no matter who they were. So I was never really given the permission to hate them or speak ill of them. And then there was a lot of secrecy as well. So we didn't talk about, like, there was no open talking about the fact that my parents were drug addicted or in jail or all of that stuff was really very much on the down low. There was a lot of shame around it. So at some point in my 20s, like in my early 20s, the breakdown started to occur. And I started to realize that I was in a lot of pain. There was a lot of desiring death, like I wanted to kill myself. And my mother died when I was 28, and I started going to therapy, and I started going to Agape. And that's when everything sort of came up to the surface, and I started the path to really heal myself. And that's when I realized just how much work I had to do. And it was, I'm laughing today, and I'm so happy that I'm laughing now, because there was a time when it was just the most devastating thing, and the mountain before me was huge to climb. And I couldn't see my way out of it at all. And I remember one time my ex-husband said to me, because I was constantly, my mother, and she did this, and I'm just so brokenhearted over it. And he said to me, what if you came here for your grandmother, though? Like, what if it was meant that your mother would give birth to you, but your grandmother would take care of you? Like, that she, you were here for her and not for your mother. And when he said that to me, and my ex-husband is the son of Reverend Cynthia James, and so he grew up in Agape, yeah. So he grew up in Agape, and he was very much a part of that early foundations of Agape as a child. And so when he said that to me, it just all fell away. I promise you, it just fell away. And I was able to forgive my mother. The forgiveness of my father really was much more recent. I really, in the last 2 years, I was having a really challenging time when my ex-husband and I were going through a divorce and breaking up. And I had so much hatred in my heart. And what occurred to me one day when I was in prayer that I needed to revisit my relationship with my father if I was going to heal my relationship with my son's father. And so I started the work of going back into my father's history and researching his beginnings, talking to his brothers, his cousins, his friends who are still alive, and learning about him and why he was who he was and how that translated into our relationship. And as I did that, I began to really be able to humanize him and understand that he wasn't raised by a woman who knew what I knew, and he wasn't loved and nurtured in the way that he needed to be. So he got his love and nurturing in the streets, which is why he became a gangster and why he treated my mother the way he did. And so I was able to then begin to translate those behaviors and those experiences that I had with him so that I could then forgive him. And that is still a process for me. I'm still very much working on my relationships, the broken parts of my relationships with men that ignited in my relationship with my father. It is a process that I'm very much in today.
I understand. I see the challenges that we go through. It's our opportunity to infuse God into what looks like broken or where a relationship where God is not there. We are here when we're going through it, whatever we're going through, this is an opportunity for us to add God to it, add love to it, to transcend. I mean, it's like what your ex-husband said to you. You know, for me, what I heard is that one of the definitions of miracles, according to A Course in Miracles, is a shift in perspective. At that moment, you had a shift in perspective. You had a miracle.
Yeah.
And once you saw it differently, it was like you opened up the doorway for something more, a sense of appreciation for yourself. Like, whoa, wait a minute. As I hear it, it's like, wow, if I'm here for my grandmother, well, that just turns everything all around, doesn't it? It did. And that's what keeps us trapped, because sometimes we look at life, we look at our experiences through one viewpoint, and that's it. And we want to justify, we want to defend it, we want to invest in it, we want to take out insurance. This is my story. Don't you dare change it. I will sue you if you change my story. But we set ourselves free. Now, I want to kind of stay a little bit with the work that you had to do and you're still doing, because for me, I really believe that's where the real deal is when we talk about spirituality. Because sometimes Debbie Ford, who wrote the book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, and she did amazing work. That those of us sometimes, yes, indeed. And she's soaring high and helping us see the light, even in the dark that people might be feeling right now, but her not being here. There's a tendency sometimes to run to the beauty of spirituality and not want to do the work. And the trick, if you will, is the more we run to the light, the more what needs to be healed is magnified.
Mm-hmm.
What was the catalyst? What caused you to stick with what needed to be healed? What was showing up for you that in order to move forward, in order to be free, in order to really know yourself on a deep level, you must heal this? What kept you there, and what kind of support did you get to keep walking, keep moving, instead of just running from it? Go ahead.
The first thing is to that accepting that I'm responsible for my existence, that I am the creator of this world that I live in. I'm creating it with my energy. I'm creating it with my thoughts. I'm creating it with my belief systems. And some of these beliefs and ideas, I remember once I was in practitioner training at Agape, and maybe it was self-mastery, and I could not sit up straight in class. Like, I was in so much physical pain, emotional pain that had become so heavy on my heart that all I could do was really lay down in class. And I remember the teacher doing energy work over me as she was teaching the other students, doing energy work over me, and she whispered in my ear, "You're carrying stuff that's not even yours. This stuff is so old that you are carrying. Like, and, you know, you're carrying your ancestors' stuff. Like, this stuff is generations. It's otherworldly." And I thought to myself, "Oh my gosh! Like, so." I have to be responsible for that. I can't be responsible for what my mother, the choices that she made, or the choices of my father, but I can be responsible for how I'm responding to it. And that is an everyday sort of practice. And so for me, I am a student forever. Like, I am forever. You know, as I learn more, sometimes I find myself in the role of teacher. But I'm not really a teacher like that. Like, I am a student, and for years I sat at the feet of Reverend Michael Beckwith and sat in his classes and sat at Agape and participated and served. And then when I was complete there, and then I went into another environment and I started practicing Buddhism, and I still practice Buddhism, and I chant, and Buddhism offers me a philosophy around everything in your world is a reflection of your inner being. It is I am projecting out into the world everything from within me. So if I want to heal it out there, then I've got to heal it in here. And sometimes that is so yucky because I look and I'm having these experiences with people that I'm like, that couldn't be me. But the reality is that it is. It is me. It can't be anything else. And so the universe is always, one of my teachers, my great teacher, my writing teacher, Georgina Lindsay, she always would say, everything is happening for you. Nothing is ever happening against you. Everything is happening to serve your evolution. So when I'm, you know, if I find myself, like I found myself in a, not I found myself, I created a marriage that was challenging and difficult with a man who was really pretty spiritually awakened, and I was like, okay, this is me. This is me. He is mirroring this to me. And I stayed in therapy, and I, you know, stayed in school, and I do the work. I do the work. And sometimes I can be a little heavy on the work. Like, I'm not, people have to remind me to play.
Like, okay, because, now, Monique, chill out.
Chill out. So oh, I can man. Be intense on the work. Like, I'm that person that's like, you know, oh, let's go to school. Like, oh, what's in there? So I have to be reminded to play. Honestly, I'm the opposite. So that is how it occurs for me. And I love it. Like, I love the human experience. I just, you know, I'm a Virgo, I'm earthly, and so I love what goes on Earth, and I love people, and I love the chaos and the madness that we experience. Like, I'm interested in people's stories, which is why I write, because I'm interested in the stories, and I'm interested in what people are choosing to do and who people are being. And I am, like, I think a human being, a new human being to me is better than a new book. I could sit and listen to someone and ask all the questions and like forever, because there's nothing more exciting than a new human being who's sharing all these, you know, gritty, grimy, lovely stories of their life. Mm-hmm. Powerful who we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here laughing and I'm thinking, oh God, you know, there's so much you shared here, but I think of that whole thing about being reminded to play. And for me, I mean, sometimes I'll do a show, a great show, and I've gotten to, I may watch something that I recorded from own network, and Celeste would say, are you watching Life Coach TV again? It's like, no, because I get so caught up. And recently I was thinking, yeah, I don't know if I'm addicted to, you know, personal growth. And
yeah,
now, and for me, I have to measure by saying, well, addiction, I mean, I can hang with people, but if I'm not with people, I'm with myself. I'm reading something that's about betterment, of recognizing who I am, reading something on past life, on non-physical mm-hmm. beings. You know, I'm reading books, a sacred yes, but it is very, very important to pull back. You know, it's almost like creating a prototype for something. There comes a time when you've got to share it with the world. There comes a time when you've got to let it go and see how it's going to move forward. And so I definitely get that. And we're going to take a break in a few minutes. But before, after the break, I want to move to the motherhood side of your life experience that you're creating. But I want to ask you this. What would you say to someone who had, you know, they listen to your story and they may say, oh, my God, that was horrible, but, you know, mine was worse, because sometimes we're trying to put stories against one another. Well, mine was worse. Well, at least her father didn't abuse her, or didn't sexually abuse her. Sexual abuse is worse. Somebody who just somehow they're married to their story of how wrong their parents were, how wrong or how bad their life was, and they want to embrace the past. They want to love what is. They want to be free, but somehow they just can't shake it. They say, I've done forgiveness work, but I still feel like I didn't deserve that.
Well, you know, for me, I would just say that, like, who our parents were and how they treated us, they create an imprint on us. Like, mm-hmm. if we are energetically connected to them, we are made of their cells and of their fibers. Like, we are an extension of our parents. We are also ourselves. But if it's really bad and heavy, or that's the story you're telling yourself, you get this opportunity to transform it. Like, then for me, I thought it was my responsibility to heal it. Like, that's how it occurred for me. As heavy as it is, I am the person that is capable of actually transforming it, making it lighter. And I'm not just healing it for me, but I'm healing it for them. And I'm healing it for those who will come after me. I get to do that. I get the honor of doing that work. What a gift.
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm writing what you were saying. I'm writing it down because I wanted to highlight that point, and you were saying it. It's like, it is a gift. You know, each and every one of us has been specially, divinely chosen to heal what humanity is going through. So through our parents, the things that are not quite, as we would say, loving, and it could be more loving, we have been chosen. We came
that
here to be healing.
That way. Yeah.
That's right. So if we allow ourselves to heal, to transform that experience, then as you said, Moni, it's, we get to heal it for our parents as the ones, our ancestors, and we get to heal it for the ones who are yet to come after us.
Yeah.
But the God unfolding process knows itself as love, and every time another child is born is a gift to say, now you get the opportunity to heal what happened in the past. So we have a choice to heal it or complain about it, or even pretend it's not real, or to deny it, or to hide it. And even while we're hiding it, don't want to face it, we're doing the same thing that was once done, and there's going to be somebody else, if it's not you, something else that's going to help you bring love to that situation. It's real simple, but it's not always easy.
It is not always easy. You're right.
Ooh, Lord. I have a monthly thing that I do now where I do a 24-hour silence, and something came up for me this week, because it was Saturday. I did it this once a month, and just things that came up for me that was just like, oh, my God. And, but there's some when if we get still enough, and like you said, what do I need to see? We ask the question. Actually, maybe I'm thinking of something I read. Yeah, I read a blog where you ask the question. But, you know, when you ask the question, what do I need to see? How could I heal this? What is getting in my way? The universe, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it, will answer. Always, there's always an answer.
Yeah.
Well, let's answer the call for a break. And so Moni can drink some water if you want to take a BR break. This is the time. And we're coming back with Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. I told you I'm just going to sit in a cafe with Monique, because if you guys have a question, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And Teresa, Monique, let's try that again. Monique, Teresa said, what'd she say? She said, Monique, thank you for being such a light in the world. Yes, she is truly that, and
thank
helping
you,
us activate the light within us. Yes, yes, yes. So let's take a break, and if you want to join in the conversation, share your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, your disagreement, your disbelief, your uncomfortability, bring it, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad, because, you know, we have set the intention to support you on your transformation. So whatever you're moving through, whatever you're going through, we're here to just help you dissolve it with love. But if you can't call in, or you don't want to call in, you can post your questions or your thoughts on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show fan page, like page. I'm getting close to calling a like page. I'm still stuck in the past. Okay, I release myself. Like page. Or the Life Conversations Radio like page. Woo, I did it. post your questions there, and Celeste and I will get to it. We'll be happy to address your thoughts. Or what else? Oh, yeah, you can go to the website, lifeconversationsmedia.com. If you don't do Facebook or can't get on Facebook, lifeconversationsmedia.com. And there's something. I can't remember what it is. Now, I haven't said that in a long time. But find your way. Contact us or something like that. If you really want to talk to us, you'll find a way. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back with Celestial Moment with Celeste. What's her name again? Celeste Morgan? Yes, yes, yes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, and we are truly, truly daring you to live your best life. But Mr. P says it's better than me. No, he doesn't. He says it his way. So go on, Mr. P. Say it your way.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Oh, I say better than him. Okay, stop it now. Take a break.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. He'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
That is the truth, Carly Jackson. Thank you, thank you. You can find Carly Jackson on Facebook, Carly, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A-X-E-N. Yes, reminding us that no matter what we're going through or growing through, we are truly free, and the work is to recognize that freedom that is already here. But, you know, you gotta free yourself from the pursuit of freedom. Because the pursuit of freedom leaves you not feeling free. So you just have to do your work to recognize, I am there already. I am home already. Today's topic theme is journeying with Down syndrome. We haven't talked about that yet, but we're getting ready to. The story of a mother and a son. And we have to lay the foundation to let you know that this woman is she's a warrior. She came here to do some real work. Talk about blending the secular with the sacredness. Ooh, she had the perfect foundation. It's time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And, I remember her name. I don't know about her. Hey, Celeste, how are you? Okay, let me stop messing with you. Let me just stop it.
All is well. I want Monique to know welcome home, and I have a very special archive gift for her after Celestial Moment. So I'm going to get right to it. Because the conversation is so powerful. So, good afternoon, family. It's Celeste here again, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that is showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift On Saturday, we started the beginning of the Mercury retrograde in Pisces, and today we are experiencing a full moon in Virgo, which gives us a beautiful opportunity to release and let go. The energy of the day equals 6, and if you are celebrating a birthday today, this is your lesson number for the whole year. And since 2013 equals 6, we are all collectively running with the high love vibration of the number 6 all year. 6 is ruled by the planet Venus. It is a peace lover, and it is also known as the cosmic mother. It represents full expansion and expression. 6 is also the snake in medicine cards, and its sacred gift is transmutation, turning challenges into lessons, pain into gold. Virgo is the 6th house in astrology. 6 also shows up as the lovers in tarot. It's about attraction and a magnetic charge. 6 also belongs to the Orisha of fire, thunder, and sensuality, King Shango. The 6th letter of the alphabet is F, and words like focus, freedom, and feast connect us to the magical power of 6. Now today, we're going to put the spotlight on the Jaguar of the medicine cards. Its number is not 6, it's actually 51. But when you add 5 plus 1, you get 6. So here we go. Sacred Jaguar, tell me, teach me to wear my power lightly, to walk with impeccability, to approach life with compassion, and to live up to the integrity of my human potential. The Jaguar has a mission to devour the unclean aspects of human behavior. Remember, sin is simply missing the mark of what's true for you on your walk. All the times you've allowed yourself to be judged by your challenges instead of embracing your divinity, when being the good girl or good boy weighed more on your consciousness than honoring the voice within, the Jaguar comes stalking around the edges of your life to get you to stop leaking your life force, your energy. The Jaguar offers rewards of good medicine to those who stand in their personal integrity and walk through life in an impeccable manner. But don't get tripped up making this be about being perfect. That line of thinking will take you off your path. Remember, this medicine teaches that personal integrity allows for mistakes, embraces forgiveness, and humbly makes self-directed corrections, allowing a rebalanced spirit to triumph once again. All is well, and that's the story of 6, told through Afran, the Jaguar of the medicine cards. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Celeste.
Okay, now, are you ready for my archive gift for Miss Monique?
Oh, yeah, sure. Monique is ready, too.
I love it.
We like gifts.
Yes, this is tailor-made. I got a nudge to play in the archive on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, and I found out something absolutely amazing. Now, I'm not sure how many of our guests can say they appeared on this show during 2 full moons and 2 Mercury retrogrades, but Monique Ruffin has that honor. On October 29th, we had a full moon in Taurus when she first arrived discussing the spirituality of politics. Then, on November 7th, we were experiencing a Mercury retrograde on a collective responsibility show where Monique shared that she is a Virgo. And today, we have a full moon in Virgo and a Mercury retrograde in Pisces, which started on Saturday. So energetically and synchronistically, Monique, you are quite a powerhouse. It's wonderful to have you here again. And let's be clear, your dates for appearing on these shows are all arbitrary. We can't plan this type of magic. So welcome home.
Thank you, Celeste. That's great.
Well, well, well.
picture.
I mean, I'm just thinking. I mean, that's just amazing. And you know, when I think of your work, Monique, it's like, you know, when your titles in your bio says you're an activist, which I say you're a sacred activist. And activists bring us back to what is true. When we talked about politics last year, it was like, bring the heart to it. Mercury retrograde is about going back. It's about readdressing what we've ignored. And that's your work. Your work is bring people back to themselves and recognize the sacredness in the secular. And so it's divine. It's, I mean, we can't plan this. If you try and plan it, we'll mess it up. So thank you, Celeste, for that. Thank you. Thank
it's
you. Thank
pleasure.
You.
Yes. Thank
you. Whoa. All right, Destiny, calm down. Thank you for the play.
All right, Mercury.
We play with Mercury. No,
planet,
I messed up. But yeah, does Mercury just have an influence? I understand that. Thank you, sir. That's it.
My pleasure.
The gift of Mercury is to slow down. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. And we wanted to lay a foundation of Monique's story and let you know how easy she had it. And, she just had an easygoing life. But it's funny, you know, even that, too, when we talk about, we say someone's life is easy, someone's life is harder. And people can look at your life right now, Monique, and say, oh, my gosh, she has a tough life. But really, the question is, what are we measuring? What are we using as a reference point? And but for those who don't know, let's move to motherhood. And you're definitely bringing sexy back to motherhood. You're taking out the mother out of mothering, and you're helping mothers really understand that they still, they're the most important person in their children's life, so they got to honor themselves. So let's start with your son. Let's fast forward. And your son has Down syndrome. And just so we're all on one accord, I know when I look at the definition, I have my son like, yeah, well, that's what you think. I want to ask you, what is Down syndrome first before we go deep into the story?
Okay, so Down syndrome is basically a human experience of a person having an extra chromosome. So I believe that we have 46 chromosomes, and children with Down or people with Down syndrome have 47 chromosomes. And you know, I will admittedly say that I have not studied Down syndrome or what it means, or I have a unique experience with a human being named Zion James, who is my son.
You haven't studied it before you had Zion, or even up on
no. And since I've had him, I haven't studied Down syndrome and what it means or even what it is to some degree. I do know that it means that that person has an extra chromosome, and what that looks like is different in every person. There are some things that are similar, like people with Down syndrome tend to have almond eyes, and they tend to have smaller mouths, and they tend to look, they tend to have a certain certain features that are similar, physical features. They tend to be smaller in stature. And there can be some delays in their development. And so that is that's the general experience of Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wanted your definition because when I'm looking at some of the things, I respect doctors. They can only share and teach what they learn, but I know
right.
There's so much more. So
yes.
What we call disability is probably so much more than that, but we look at what happens and we view life through our five senses. But I think on the spiritual level, there's so much more. So now,
of course.
Your story, how you talk, I like how you said it's a human experience. Now, you got pregnant, I'm sure you were overjoyed, and then you take it from there. You tell the story.
Yes, my husband and I at the time were really wanting to have a child, and so we planned a pregnancy, which was so great. Like, coming from the environment that I come from, it was like, oh, I'm actually going to plan a pregnancy. So we planned a pregnancy, and I got pregnant. The first time I got pregnant, I had a I had a miscarriage, and when I had a miscarriage, the doctor started doing some research and learned that I had a sickle cell trait that I didn't know about. So I was in my 30s, and I was for the first time in my life learning that I was a carrier for sickle cell. And it turns out that my ex-husband was also a carrier for sickle cell. So that put us in a high-risk category for pregnancy. And so we talked about it and decided that we still wanted to have a baby. And I don't want to speak for him, but I do recall for me, I didn't want to carry a baby full term who was going to have sickle cell. I'd have a lot of friends or several friends who live with sickle cell, and I have witnessed just extreme bouts of pain and suffering physically that felt like too much for me to be parenting a child who would have a lot of physical pain. It would make me feel really helpless, and I don't really like feeling helpless. So that's my illusion that I'm not helpless, but you know, so anyway, nonetheless. So we got pregnant, and 20 weeks into the pregnancy, I did all the genetic work, and we learned that my son was testing positive for Down syndrome. And then that's when the breakdown started to happen. So I would say that is when I had already been doing spiritual work before then, but that is when I really went inside of myself, or shall I say, when I felt like my psyche open so that I could enter into the secret realm of my own soul, was when I learned that my son was going to have Down syndrome. Like, I felt myself crack open. And before, like weeks before, months before, there was this feeling that something was coming for me. I had this feeling that something was in store for me, but I couldn't figure out what it was. And I was trying to figure it out because I do this work spiritually. So I was praying and, you know, just turning my intuition up, and I was like, something is coming. Like, I knew it. I could feel it, but I didn't know what. And when the doctor said Down syndrome, I was like, oh, this is what it is. And I started having dreams. Like, so I was dreaming that I was at the hospital, and the doctors were rushing around, and something was wrong, and all sorts of, like, signs. The signs started getting closer and closer and closer, and then the doctor saying Down syndrome, and that was it. That was when the sky opened up.
I'm always the one, huh?
Now, yeah.
At that moment, you know, sometimes we tend to say, "Well, was there a point where you got real?" And what I mean here, did you get human about it? Because, you know, sometimes we say there's the human aspect, the spiritual aspect. Was there a time when you kind of thought, why me? After what I went through with my parents and got to this point, now here I am giving birth to a new life, and this is something that I don't even know much about, or I had ideas mm-hmm. about it. And mm-hmm. what would it take to? Did you go through that moment of a breakdown, if you will, where you questioned mm-hmm. yourself, questioned God, and what was that like?
Mm-hmm. I did. I found out about the diagnosis at work. I was at work in my cubby. That's when I had a 9-to-5 job. When I was so scared of figuring out. But I did work. I worked for the United Centers for Spiritual Living. So I had a really sweet 9-to-5 job. But anyway, I was on the phone, and the woman, and I'll never forget her voice. She had an accent from like Minnesota, like Fargo, like that interesting sort of accent they have. So I'll never forget the sound of her voice ever, and her saying Down syndrome. And I got off the phone, and I went into my boss's office, who was a minister, and just started to scream and wail and throw myself on the floor. Like, in that moment, like, I think I probably scared the bejesus out of them. But it was Reverend Marcia was there, and Reverend Alice Bandy was there, and I lost it. Like, I cried like the end of the world was upon me. I cried, and I just cried and sobbed and cried. I mean, it was unending, and I remember kind of feeling bad for them. Like, I remember thinking, I know they don't know what to do with me, but I don't know how to stop what's going on with me. So I just, yes. And then after that, I
when you were crying and sobbing mm-hmm. and throwing yourself, what was the thought? What were you thinking? What was triggering that for you? What was going on inside of you?
Down syndrome. Really, it was just Down syndrome, and I didn't know anything about Down syndrome at the time, but I mm-hmm. did know that it meant, like, mental delays. It meant being an outsider. It meant not being acceptable. It meant It just meant that I was. It meant unworthy is what it meant. Like mm-hmm. it meant hard. Like there were some energies that came with a belief system that I had in place and mm-hmm. About people who had special needs, that they just mm-hmm. weren't able to come to the table with the rest mm-hmm. of us, that they didn't matter, that they didn't have value, that they are less than, and that's what it meant. So that's what I was crying about, that mm-hmm. And I also believe I was crying because I knew that I was about to really just have to let my life go as I had known it. Like, it was over. There was something in me that knew that I couldn't just abort this child. Like, I could if I wanted to, but if I did, I would die on the table. Like, there was something like, this is the moment. This is it. You cannot run from this. This is yours. You were born for this. And I just didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything. So I was terrified. I was terrified.
I can only imagine. And I can only imagine. And let's move forward, because there's some things, mm-hmm. that, you know, mm-hmm. I want to highlight the story because, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, it's sometimes there are those who think when you're on a spiritual path, you're not supposed to have challenges, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, or if they're having challenges, it's an indicator that maybe they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. Maybe God's trying to tell us something. Well, God's always trying to tell you something. But it's
right.
Like, we always think, you know, on a spiritual path, everything we just kind of, yeah, I mean, and I think intellectually we think that, but we really know that's not the truth. And I just want to, you know, through your story, to get people to see themselves, even if it's not through a Down syndrome or a bad news, whatever is going on,
mm-hmm.
that we can
mm-hmm.
see ourselves in others and realize
mm-hmm.
that truly we are the hands of God, and
mm-hmm.
How we navigate the spiritual tools in real life experiences. So let's move forward to
mm-hmm.
now you gave birth to the process of giving birth and raising the child. What was that like, and what did you identify, what did you realize about you, Monique?
Mm-hmm. So that is the thing, when you talk about how people can see themselves. I think mm-hmm. one of the biggest things I have learned in this experience is that people don't have a clue who they are. They don't know what they're made of. They don't know what is possible within them, because we limit ourselves based upon our histories. So when something comes for us, we believe that we're not capable because we haven't had to use the tools that are within us. We haven't had to cultivate patience in that sort of way. We haven't had to cultivate joy in the way that experience will allow you to cultivate it or demand it of you. And so one of the things that has been the biggest lesson in this, being a parent to Zion James, who has an experience of Down syndrome, is that I had no idea that I was capable of this. I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue that I was capable of not working every day at a 9-to-5, that I was capable of finding or figuring out a new way to make money to sustain us, or even that I was capable of being humble enough to go get on welfare. I had no clue that I was capable of this. I didn't know that I was capable of being an advocate for somebody. So, you know, the things, the skills that I learned growing up in the environment that I grew up in that had me advocating for myself and other people and protecting myself, now I apply that to him because I honed those skills back then, and now nobody can mess with me and my kid because I got this. You know, it's, and I'm not saying that it's easy. It is not easy, but I'm very clear about my intuition, and I make mistakes. I was just on the phone with my girlfriend the other day, and a couple of years ago, Zion swims. We swim like 3 days a week, and he wants to surf. And a couple of years ago, we were going into swimming, and the teacher, I called, and I wanted to sign up for swim lessons. I had actually paid already. And the teacher, and I made the mistake of telling the teacher, the instructor, my son has Down syndrome. And so he was afraid. And so he said, oh, well, maybe you should bring him next year. And I made a mistake because I should have taken him to the swimming class when I wanted to, when I intended to, and we should have decided in the class that he wasn't ready. Like, what I've learned is that I don't decide that he's not ready for something before I have actually had the experience that he's not ready for it. But now now I know that. And now I know that if I feel like he's ready for something, we're going to start it. And if we learn in the experience that he's not, then we will delay it for later. But I am the person who's advocating for him, and we will decide based upon what he and I and a teacher decide together, not based upon fears. So people, everybody has an experience in their lives that comes for them, but they don't think they can do it. I can't tell you how many women have approached me and said, I didn't think that I was strong enough to have my child when I learned that my child was testing positive for Down syndrome. I could never do this, and I never thought. And God bless them. Like, that's fine if you think that you can't. But I thought that I couldn't either. I didn't know that I could. And I would not have done it had my soul not said, you have got to do this.
Right.
And I would not have discovered who I am. I would not have discovered the resources, the tools, the strength, the power, the beauty, the magnificence that existed within me that was going untapped because I thought I couldn't.
Mm. Yeah. And you know, you spoke to this next question, but I just want to hear it from this perspective, from this viewpoint. First of all, I guess I ask you this question first. You and Zion's father are not together anymore, right? You co-parent.
Yes, we co-parent. Mm-hmm.
When was he, I don't want to say out of his life, but when did the separation happen? And because really what I'm trying to get to is, what was it like when he was around, if he was around, I'm sure he was, but I don't know. I'm making up stuff in my head. Let me stop making up stuff. Let me ask you the question. You know, when you gave birth to Zion, was he around? And when did the separation happen? And what was the difference between when he was around and when he was gone for you?
Okay. So he has always been around. He has never not been around. Like, his father loves his kid. They have a love affair like none other. I think sometimes I'm jealous, sort of. But
what are you jealous of?
Jealous of the there's an ease in their relationship. They're like buddies, but he is the father, and there's an ease and a flow within their exchange with one another that I don't experience with Zion. And so sometimes I'm jealous of that. So we separated and departed in our marriage when Zion was about 2 years old, and he never left. So after that, like, he literally would come to our house every single night and feed Zion and put Zion to bed. He only stopped coming to do that when I finally told him, I need you to stop. Like, I need my space.
I hear that. I wouldn't even ask why. I mean, I think, well, I understand. It's like, okay. But it's not.
Right. And he was upset about that. You know what I mean? So So we are, he is very, you know, I have an open door policy with him. Sometimes I'm like, okay, don't take advantage of open door policy. But he is very much around, loves his child. We are very much committed as parents and as friends, and we love each other. So, and, you know, he's never not been here. So there is no answer to that. He's always been here.
Mm, so you still get the same support. And Brian is what, 6 now?
He's 6 now, yes.
Wow, wow. So 6 years later, and you look at where you were when you were in the office and crying and just could stop crying, and today you look back. What do you see about yourself? What have you learned about life? What have you learned about God?
Well, the thing about this, parenting this child, that's so fantastic. So there are a couple of things. So when he was being born, I had to look at where I consider myself disabled, where I consider myself that I don't fit in, that I don't measure up, that I'm not capable, because those are the ideas that I held about people with disabilities. And I had to really do that work because I am the creator of my reality. So if I am bringing forth a human being who has, as far as our culture is concerned, who people would see as disabled and who I had that idea about, I had to see where I thought myself, where I was disabled. And what occurred for me was that my blackness was my disability. Like, I was raised in a family where my father was constantly in a conversation about race and how black people and white people and who we were. And how I carried that was that I am less than, I can't because I'm black, I won't because I'm black, they don't like me because I'm black. So I had to heal my own disability. Like, I had to really heal my disability. And that is an ongoing process, but what that looks like is me really beginning to see my beauty and to be able to walk into a room and understand that I add value everywhere I go. I'm not less than. I have something to contribute, and I'm a beneficial presence everywhere I am. And as I incorporate that more and more inside of myself, I really teach that. I pattern that to my child. So where my father taught me, even though he didn't mean to, he taught me that I wasn't enough because I was black, because of his language and how he thought of himself, I don't teach that to my son because Down syndrome is a part of his experience, but it doesn't make him less than. He still has potential. He has gifts, talents, and I am here to assist him with that. And then one of the other areas for me is that I was parented by mothers or women who struggle as mothers. So I struggle as a mother. I do. I struggle I don't have that patterning inside of me. So a lot of my relationship with Zion is, like, I'm, for lack of a better word, I'm teaching myself, and it's forced on some level. So a lot of it doesn't come really easy to me. And it's not because he has Down syndrome. It's because I didn't witness mothering being an easy thing. It just wasn't taught to me. I don't own it viscerally yet. So I do a lot of work around just how to show up as a mother. And I talk to my girlfriends who are mothers, and I learn from them because I have friends who have been mothers much easier, much more easily than it comes to me. And so I watch them. I talk to them. I'm in environments where they're mothers and it's easier for them. I just immerse myself in the things that are challenging for me, and I surround myself with people who do it easily. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, and I want to ask you, how did your experience with Zion, what did it inspire in you? What did you get to see about who and what God is? Or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think.
And I ask that question because, you know, some people they give birth to a child, they say the child has a disability, and they look at it, God is punishing them, that they did something wrong, or because they were using drugs when they were a child, or just, you know, just the stories that we create. And that's really, I want to kind of squeeze that out and how you view God.
Wow. But I've never... So, of course, there have been maybe a couple of occasions where I have thought this is in retribution for something that I've done. Slight, like not, like barely. It's just not how I see it. And I view my experience with Zion as a gift. Like I truly view it, my experience with Zion as an opportunity for me to evolve. Like I was saying to you earlier, who I am today is completely unrecognizable from who I was before Zion. So I like myself better. I feel much more whole, alive, alert, beautiful, sensual, sexual, powerful than I ever was. And it has been, all of that has come out of the experience since Zion was born. So it was as if God said, "You don't know." Like, so here's the thing that's funny. Like, so Zion wants to learn to surf. And I have had him in swim lessons for almost a year. And sometimes he doesn't want to go to his swim lessons. But what he doesn't know, because he's young, is that he has to learn to swim in order to be able to surf. So God knew if there was some, so the higher aspect of me, because I don't believe that there's some God out there, but the higher aspect of me knew that in order for me to fulfill on who I am, this experience was going to get me there. I didn't know it. Like, I would have walked away. If somebody would have said, "You're going to have a child with Down syndrome," and it's, I would have said, "Oh, hell no." But,
I know that. And rolled your neck while you were saying it.
And rolled my neck and my eyes and pushed my finger and put my hand on my hip, okay? All of
and
that.
And poke your lips out, too. You're going to poke your lips
That's
out.
That's right. All on stilettos, okay? So what I know is that I don't know, I don't have in my living brain, in my mind, all that I need that will assist me to become and do what I'm here to do. But there is an aspect of me, the higher principle of me does. It knows, and it speaks to me. I have a relationship with it through my prayer, my meditation, my crystal work. Like, all the things that I do really tap me into that deeper, higher knowing that I have. But at the time when I was pregnant with Zion, like I said, all I could feel was that something was coming. I didn't know what. But I need this so that I could learn how to surf. Like Zion needs to swim so that he can learn how to surf. I needed this experience so that I could become who I really dreamed myself into to be.
Yes.
I couldn't skip the step.
You couldn't, and you needed reminders. I mean, you came here, you chose a perfect parent, and you chose to be the perfect parent so that you could stay on your path. There's a question in the chat room. You really answered it in so many ways. Teresa said, what has she learned the most about herself from her son? And you really spoke to that. And but I want to ask you this, because I always say parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice. You know, I don't care. Walk on water, fast for 40 days with no food, big deal. Parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice. And I think for just my experience, what I see, I think mothers take it to a whole new level. And there are mothers who would neglect themselves because of their children. They'll put their what is important to them on hold. And for whatever reason, for what they learned or didn't learn, what would you share with mothers who are struggling with putting themselves first or maybe when they do, they feel guilty about it. They're struggling to include their spiritual practice in their daily activities because they've got children. What would you say to them to kind of help them start finding a balance in whatever their schedule looks like?
Well, it is, I mean, for me, it's so interesting. This is funny. So when Zion was born, and I realized all the commitments I was going to have, because there were tons of therapies. There's not as much anymore, but therapies, behavioral therapy, speech therapy, all sorts of stuff, just to determine what his challenges were going to be and where we were going to need to work with him on most. And so there were all these things to do, plus the normal things of mothering, plus my 9-to-5 job. Now, I'm going to tell you, I decided inside of myself, I refuse to work a 9-to-5 job. I just, like, the thing about, now, if people want to work, and I totally get that, I understand it, but I was not going to completely neglect myself because I had a child that had different needs and demanded another level of time that was going to sometimes be exhausting, and then a child that had, you know, like, the same child also had the regular stuff, and then I was going to go work at a 9-to-5 and then come home. Hell no. I just wasn't doing it. I wasn't doing it. And no one could make me do it. I didn't care. Like, that was a part of the challenge of my marriage. I could care. I just was like, I was completely defiant in it. And when women begin to stand up and take care of themselves and really admit that they have needs. Like, we have needs. We have all sorts of needs. They're varied. And to make those needs primary, because what we don't understand is how we treat ourselves is how we're teaching our children to treat themselves. So if you put everyone before you, including your child, then your child is going to grow up and put everyone before themselves. You know what I mean? So they are going to pattern what we have taught them. If your child, the one thing that I love about my mother, I love a lot about my mother, but my mother, even though it looked like the story looks horrible, like, you know, looks like, oh, she was a drug addict and a prostitute and all this. But she put her journey, that's what she needed for her journey to get to who she needed to be. She put her journey before her relationship with me. And she put herself first. Now, for a long time, I felt like that was neglect. But what I know today is that she was taking care of her soul's evolution. And I'm taking care of my soul's evolution. And I want my son to grow up and take care of his soul's evolution. I don't want him to ever put anyone before his needs unless that's a part of his soul's evolution. And women don't understand that we are really, if we're neglecting ourselves, we're teaching our children to neglect themselves. Mm. I do not neglect myself. There are areas where I need to get better. There are areas that I'm still working on, but I do not, as a whole, I do not neglect myself. I take care of myself because I can't take care of my child if I haven't taken care of myself.
Indeed. Indeed. So true. Mm-hmm. So true. So true. And that takes work. That takes, you know, just confronting what is true and looking at it. Sometimes it is looking at what's going on in the moment, but also recognizing what kind of future am I creating right now? So some people may hear what you're saying, but that sounds so selfish. Well, what you're doing now, as you said, Monique, is you're teaching your children to put themselves second, third, or last.
That's
and
right.
That's not loving. I mean, in the plane, they tell you when stuff hits the fan, get
right.
Your mask and put it on yourself first.
That's
and
right.
Nobody's ever said, but that's just so wrong. What about my children? But if you're dead, you can't help your children. So get
that's
some
right.
oxygen so you can survive to be what you need to be. It's hard, but we have to. I mean, like you said, hell no, I am not giving up. You know, there's some things
right.
you've got to stand and say, this is the way it's going to be. Before we release you, I want to hear your thoughts on our theme. Once again, you spoke to it in so many ways, but you may have another way of coming at it because I know you like the theme, loving what is. How do you love what is, and how would you suggest people love what is happening showing up in their lives?
Well, I love the theme, by the way, and I think for me it is an opportunity to be fully present with what's going on in my life to the best of my ability, because there's sometimes the things that I'm just not ready for yet. You know, there's just things like, for instance, it took me a really long time to be able to embrace that my mother was a prostitute and that she had experiences with men where there was sexuality, sexual stuff going on and exchanges of money and all that. So for a long time, I really hated that. But what happened was then I rejected it inside of myself, my own sexuality. Like I rejected being a sensual, sexual woman because I hated it in her. Yeah. So when I have an opportunity to really just be present with what is, and at the very least, and even if I hate it, I can be present with the fact that I hate something, but it still is. It doesn't mean that it's not. You know, right. I am having a challenge with this, but that doesn't change that it exists. So that's an opportunity for loving what is. So there's that, and then there is truly giving ourselves to what is here now, to what it is, like to not be in resistance. And that, for me, that is constant work. It is so, I promise you, I resistance is something that I have practiced for many years because not trying to become what I grew up around. So I'm a master at resistance. And so I'm constantly reminding myself to just be present with what is and allow the universe, allow your higher knowing to let this unfold in the way that it should be. And so whatever's going on, you know, I have a client who's has a weight challenge, and she has, you know, she's probably 100 pounds overweight. And so I've worked with her for a year where we didn't even talk about her weight, really. Didn't even talk about it. Just talked about how can she be in her life as it is. Just be with it. Be with the discomfort. Notice that your knees hurt when you walk too far. Be, you know, notice that you have a hard time breathing when you're only 20-something. Like, just be with what is. Just be with it until the energy comes for you and says, okay, now it's time to change.
Yes.
And then it's easier to change.
You can't heal what you don't feel, so you got to feel it first rather than trying to change it before you feel it. You can run all you want. It's like, ha-ha! Or like Yana would say, feelings buried alive never die. You bury it and pretend it's not there, it's going to keep sucking on you. Just, I'm right here. Monique, I always love talking with you. I really enjoy you. I enjoy who you're being in the world. I'm so grateful for you. And anything I got left to say is, it's time for you to put that book out. You wrote Open Up Your American Heart, but we want it. There's another book, because I just feel like there's so many other questions that I've written down here. I'm like, no, dude, just enough already. There's so many things that I want to hear, because, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. But your story is so rich, and your life and how you live it, how you share it, is an inspiration to others. And thank you for the work you do. Thank you for showing up and being willing to be seen, because that's what the world needs, people who are willing to be seen. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You're welcome, and thank you for allowing me to just show up here and be of service. That is really what I want to do. I want to be of service, and I love it. I love being of service to the greater good within people, and so it's my pleasure.
I understand, and look forward to having you back real soon. It's just a matter of an email, a text, or a Facebook message. We already know the answer. Let's just work out the date. Thank you, my sister. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Life is good. It's getting better. The theme for the month is loving what is. The opposite, fearing what is or hating what is. Love is allowing. Fear is resisting. So when you're not loving what's happening in your world, then you're resisting it. When you resist, it pushes back. You can't win that battle. It will wear your butt out. Why not just accept it, regardless of what society says about it? And the truth is, you got to remember who you are. To find out more about Monique, you can find her on, let's see, does Monique have a website? I know she has a blog on Huffington Post. Let me, I'm going to pull her back in. She's still here. Let me see, she's still here. Monique, I know you're on Facebook, but do you have a website?
You know, I don't, my website is under construction right now, but they can find me on Facebook at Monique Ruffin, and they can find me at mom.me.
Oh, yeah.
And
you want to find her on there. Trust me, brothers.
Yeah. And they can find me at the Huffington Post. They can find my stuff there. But if they, at Facebook, you can always email me or ask me questions at Facebook when you find me there.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we already know the name for your domain name. You know, remember I told you the domain name is very unique. See if Ariana won't trip. It's your name. But anyway, we'll talk about it. You remember what it is.
God.
Okay, it's Ruffington Post.
Oh, that's
not
right.
It's Ruffington.com. Not Post. Ruffington.com.
Forgive me, but you're right. Okay.
You're forgiven. Actually, there's no need to forgive you. I never judged you. I just asked
that's
a question.
Right.
Thank you, my sister. Have a great day. Second time around. it's time to release the show. Life is good indeed. It's getting better. I see the best happening for you. Monique talked about my ex-husband, who is Cynthia James' son, and it just makes sense to bring Cynthia James into this conversation. I am so grateful for you, all of you that are listening, you and you and you and you. I'm pointing my fingers like the politicians. They're not looking at anybody, but they pretend like they're pointing at you. They don't even see you. But anyway, I'm pointing because I see you. We are one in God, one in love. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And I want to remind you to be love. It is the essence of who you are, you know. And it's important to be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. You deserve it. And allow the love to flow in and out. Be loved. I will be back tomorrow with Treasures of Silence. You can't run. You can't hide.
The thing you fear will chase you down.
We'll track you down. Okay, take you down. Thank you. Okay. All right, don't think, Annie. Talk. That's what you do best, I think. But anyway, the Treasures of Silence when you get still and don't run from yourself. Cynthia James, I'm out of here. CynthiaJames.net. Standing in the light. You all are standing in the light, no matter what you're going through. Breathe in the light. Trust the process. Embrace the darkness. It is all a part of you. See you tomorrow. Trump again. Ethan.
In the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around, hold your head up high. Take your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the unnecessary thoughts and the world is pulling you down. Lift your head up high, get your chin up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around. Hold your head up high, put your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. When your mind is full of unnecessary thoughts and the world is pulling you down, lift your head up high, get your chin up off the ground. Remember you're standing. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around, hold your head up high, put your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling, hold your head up high, put your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. Hold your head up high, put your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.